So I want to continue on this morning as we've been speaking about the restitution of doctrine taken from Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 to 3, that we want to go on unto perfection. It's where the church needs to go. And beloved, as we've spoken before, that we acknowledge we're not in the place where God wants us to be. We're certainly not in the place that's ready to be received by Christ coming in the clouds. But God is preparing his people, you and me, for that day of resurrection. And I know that there are a lot of opposition, opposing voices to what I'm speaking to you today. But what I'm speaking to you is from the scriptures, from the Bible. This is the word of God. And let the word of God be true, and every man's thoughts and ideas fall short of that word. And I've learned to accept the word, even if I don't understand it, that the Lord reveals to me the things that he must. But for you and I, we have been commanded by our Savior, Jesus Christ, to keep those things that he spoke about. So in this restitution of doctrine, I want to begin by using the shadow of the journey of Israel as they left Egypt to become a nation. And so we'll start by looking at the promise that the Lord made to Abraham. He confirmed it to Isaac and to Jacob. And that was in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Very important. And it's still very relevant today because it affects us. And it literally speaks of our day. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country, get away from your people, your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you." You have to forgive me. I sang my little heart out today. I love singing to the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's nothing more beautiful for me than singing his praise. And I love to do it at home. I certainly love to do it in the shower, as I'm sure you do as well. And especially with my brothers and sisters here in the sanctuary. And I hope that you're really enjoying having these song services at home. It is a challenge sometimes, isn't it? But God bless you in that. And the Lord teach you how to do it. This is the opportunity to learn how to have a church in your house. I believe that with all my heart. God has given us the opportunity to learn how to have church in our house. And as I mentioned before, bringing your family together and elevating the word, elevating his commandments in his word, in your household, that your children know about it, that it's spoken of highly in your home. And God bless you as you do that, as I know he will, because he wants to be the Lord of your house, your home, where you live. And if you haven't yet, then please dedicate your place of refuge, your home, dedicated to the Lord. Just say, "Lord, we thank you for the place that we have to live. We thank you for a place to raise our family. And we want to dedicate this apartment, this home, this townhouse, this whatever I am, I want to dedicate it to you. This is the place where you're going to be praised, where your name shall be lifted up. And I want your blessing in this place." And you have a right to ask him for that. So, as he told Abraham, so he has spoken to us. There's such an awesome shadow that get out of your country, away from your kindred, and from your father's house, into a land or a place that I'm going to show you. And as we became born again, this is the edict that God gave unto each and every one of us, to get away from those familiar things to do with this world, that the Lord was going to redeem us from this world and redeem us from all those situations and take us to a place that he wants to show us, a place of his presence, a place of his blessing, a place where he speaks to us and leads and guides our life. And by the way, if you think that it's inappropriate to leave your family behind, let me remind you of the scriptures and the portion of scripture that we're going to be studying. It's that the Lord sends back Moses to be a deliverer for those same people that he left as the Lord raised him up and put him in that place. And so the Lord will do to you also, brothers and sisters. Don't do it in your way. Do it in the Lord. We'll come out from among them and be separate. Let the Lord deliver you, teach you, raise you up so he can send you back to your kindred, to your family as a one sent with a message of redemption. So get out of your country, your kindred, your father's house to a land that I will show you. And he literally left those things behind and obeyed the word of the Lord. And verse 2 says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 3 says, "And I will bless those that bless you and curse him that curses you. And in you," or in thee, "shall all families of the earth be blessed." Hallelujah. So this promise that was given to Abraham is literally taking effect in our lives as we are blessed because of Abraham's obedience to the word of the Lord. And that God's blessing to Abraham are evident in our lives today because we are families that have been blessed through that, through Father Abraham as he began that journey. So although Israel had not yet come into existence, God's promise to Abraham was the beginning of the nation of Israel and the future hope of salvation for all the nations outside of Israel. Literally, it was prophesied, it was given as a commandment here. Now, I like to make this point because people have so much misunderstanding when it comes to the Jewish people or the people that are from the land of Israel, that somehow they are special. And I want to say to you that they are, because God has chosen them, but not as a nation did he choose them, but he chose a man who was faithful to him, who was his friend, and that man's name was Abraham. And there was no Israel, there was no Jewish people at that point. There was just Abraham, who was a friend of God, and God made this promise to him. And it was through this promise that we see a nation named Israel, that God has put his hand upon. And we are blessed because of that. We love and we pray for the nation of Israel. They are related to us. And so we thank God for that. Amen? But God doesn't choose one people over another people, but he does honor faith, as we see all through the scriptures, same as Christ in the New Testament. He honors faith. And that's what this man, Abraham, was a man of faith. So we see here not only the blessing to Abraham, prophetic scripture speaking about the nation of Israel coming into being, and also the future hope of salvation for all the nations outside of him, when he said, "In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Amen. So we understand the Lord's ways are not our ways. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways, and his thoughts above our thoughts. So let's keep that in mind as we look at this. So the nation of Israel literally was built in captivity. And Egypt and the time of Israel in captivity or bondage was literally there for a purpose. God always has a plan. And they had no land at this point. God was going to take them to that land. But at the time that Jacob and his sons and Joseph came to live in Egypt, they were only 70 people, far too few to take the land of Canaan and possess it. And yes, you could probably say the Lord could have done that. But the Lord had this plan. And the plan was to take them into Egypt. And while they're in Egypt, they literally reproduced more than the Egyptians by far. And the Bible talks to us about the Hebrew women being lively. And they get pregnant, bang, the baby comes. And then another one comes. And they were having children all the time. Their families were enormous. And so the Lord set them in there, and while they were in this captivity, they literally became a nation. Listen to this. He was preparing them to possess their own land. Not only was he expanding them in numbers, but he was giving them wisdom and knowledge, that of a civilization who was really advanced. And Moses was who grew up in Pharaoh's house, had the learning and the wisdom of the Egyptians, as the scriptures tell us. So Israel was not only gaining in numbers, that we were gaining an understanding and wisdom of a nation. And at that point, Egypt would have been the greatest nation on earth. So the Lord Jehovah was preparing these people to possess their own land, the land that was promised to Abraham. And their numbers increased miraculously as they went from 70 souls to a rough estimate of around 3 million during that period. Now, I just think that, wouldn't that be awesome? That we could do that in the church. The Lord could make us lively. And that we could reproduce as they have, because literally we are in that place of bondage. It's the earth. That's why each and every day, brothers and sisters, we have to set ourselves free from the captivity of the thinking and the ways of the world. And it's there every day. So their numbers increased. They went from 70 to 3 million. More than that, probably. And they had an army of 600,000 men. They grew to an army, and literally called, the Bible refers to them as an army of 600,000 men. And these men were not weak, because their bodies were literally shaped by the hard labor that the Egyptians had put upon them. And we know, as Moses was sent to Pharaoh of Egypt to talk to him about letting the people of Israel go, that they just increased their burden. They were hard workers in that land. And they built the palaces and the structures in Pharaoh's kingdom. And so they had wisdom and knowledge. And they were a strong army of people during that time of captivity. Exodus chapter 1 and verse 8 says to us, "Now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph." And I hope one time we get an opportunity to talk about the life of Joseph. Such an awesome example of a man of God, that in every circumstance, God has a plan. Can you say that with me this morning, that God has a plan? He has a plan for you, for your life, for your family. Everything about you, when you consecrated your life to Christ, He has a plan for your life. Don't go running off trying to do things on your own. Let the Lord reveal his plan step by step, not before the time. You know, a great example of that is Moses certainly was called to set the people of Israel free. And when he was 40 years old, he went to Egypt and he killed an Egyptian for bothering the Hebrew people. As though that was the time that God was going to use him to set the people free. It wasn't. But God had a time and a place to use him. Just as he does each and every one of us. And sometimes, beloved, in fact, all times, the Lord has to teach us how to be patient. They that wait on the Lord are the ones who are strong. Amen? They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall rise up with wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary, walk and not faint. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait on the Lord. Have patience. We're such an impatient people today. That's why they have drive-thrus everywhere. So, verse 9 of Exodus chapter 1, it says, "And he said unto his people," this is the king over Egypt, "Behold, the people of Israel are more and mightier than we." And down in verse 12 it says, "But the more that they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel." Hallelujah. You know, God had to do something. Do you know why he had to do something? Or another reason why he had to do something. It's simply because the people of Israel were growing so great in numbers, and as the king of Egypt said, that they are more and mightier than we are. Literally, Israel could have taken over Egypt. But this wasn't the land that God had promised. God had to get them out of Egypt because he had made a promise to Abraham. But he had prepared them. But think about it for a second. During their captivity, they grew to be greater than the Egyptians by their own admission. They were ready to go and possess the land. Not before. This was the time. Amen? God's got an army marching through the land. Deliverance is their song, hallelujah, with healing in their hands, everlasting joy and gladness in their hearts. And in this army I've got a part. I think I remember that from Sunday school, believe it or not. So here it goes opposite to what Pharaoh of Egypt thinks. The more they afflict them, the more they multiply and grow. And so Pharaoh was grieved because of it. And Pharaoh issues this edict to kill all the male man-child born. Literally kill all of the baby boys that were born to the Jewish people. Horrible. And we know where that happened again, don't we? Because, yes, during that time of Herod, Jesus, the Savior, Messiah, was born. And those children under the age of 2 were being slaughtered. An evil, wicked, antichrist spirit that took place. And we can see it here as well in the world. So Moses, during this time, Moses, the deliverer, is born in captivity and during the time where they were to kill every male child. And so Moses was born in that time and was supposed to be thrown into the river and drowned or killed. because he was born to the Hebrews. But the Lord had favor upon him. In fact, let's just take for a moment and look at some of the similarities between Christ and Moses. Because certainly Moses is a shadow, as Joseph is a shadow, of Christ to come. Moses became the mediator between man and God. Such a wonderful place that he took because he pleaded on behalf of the children of Israel. He often lift up his voice and saying, Lord, don't kill them. If you take them, take me also. A true mediator, giving his own life for the people that he was charged with leading. As Christ, of course, our Savior was the same. He made mediation to the Father. In fact, now he is the only mediator between man and God, the man Christ Jesus. And we worship Jesus Christ. It's the name that we use when we pray, when we ask the Father anything. We ask in the name of Jesus because he's the only mediator between man and God. We don't pray through good people that live their lives or saints. We use the name of Jesus. It's the one with power. None of those saints have yet come out of the graves that we know of. But Jesus is risen from the dead. He has conquered death and hell and sin. And these other great people, these saints, have not done that. But we know that one day that they shall rise also. But Jesus is the only mediator. Remember that. The scripture says that plain and clear to us. There is one mediator between man and God. It's the man Christ Jesus. As Moses was a shadow of that, he became a mediator. And so both Moses and Christ were objects of God's favor at birth. They were both hid. As Joseph and Mary fled from where they were killing all the babies, and as Moses was put in that basket in the bulrushes, and his mother let him go. What an amazing time for the mother to do that, but she let her child go and float down the river in that basket. But God has a plan. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And I thank God that Moses was preserved. Both Christ and Moses were miraculously delivered from the evil leader's command to kill all the male babies. Both were mighty in words and deeds. As it says in Acts chapter 7 regarding Moses, he was mighty in words and deeds, as we will see further. Both were sent to deliver Israel. Jesus Christ came to this earth to set the people of Israel free. Both were rejected by Israel, saying that they had no right to be a ruler and a judge over them. Just as they did Moses, they did the same to Christ. They did not believe that he was God's son, that he was sent from God to bring salvation, deliverance. Praise the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Both were rejected by Israel. Both turned to the Gentiles after rejection. It was after that rejection that Moses fled into that land of Midian. And he spent 40 years there. So both of them turned to the Gentiles after rejection. We could say both of them took a Gentile bride, although Christ has not yet taken his Gentile bride to be with him, yet there is a Gentile bride for Christ. Hallelujah. Come on. It's there. Both return a second time to deliver Israel. As we know, Christ has not yet come to deliver Israel the second time. But he will, just as Moses went back to Israel. But this time with the authority of the God that made the heavens and the earth and his rod in his hand. And both died, both were buried, and both were raised again. And we know that in Jude 9, where it says that that Michael and his angels fought against Satan, and they disputed over the body of Moses. And praise the Lord, we know that Michael and the angels won that war because Jesus was found together with Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. The law, the prophets, and Jesus Christ, all on the Mount of Transfiguration. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So Moses becomes a type of Christ. And you know, another interesting point that we could say that Moses, as well as Christ, humbly left their thrones, their inheritance, to fulfill their ministries. Amen? Moses, of course, being brought up as one of the children of Pharaoh, Pharaoh's daughter's son, and had rights, and was treated as one of Pharaoh's family. But he left that throne, that inheritance. In Hebrews chapter 11, it says, by faith, when Moses was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, seeking rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. For he had recompense unto the reward. And Jesus, well, yes. Hallelujah, he left his throne in glory. And came down and was born as a man on the earth. To walk this earth. To be acquainted with our grief and sorrows and suffering. What a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, someone who is acquainted with our grief and who has suffered. Bless his holy name. Who has a Savior like that? Buddha never did that. Jesus Christ is the only one. He is the Savior. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And he will be magnified, and every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of God the Father. All praise to the name of Jesus Christ. We lift up his name, and a time is coming. The time is coming when that name is going to be known, where you and I are going to be speaking that name openly and outwardly. And in that name, many things are going to take place on the face of this earth. That name and that person of Jesus Christ may be glorified. Hallelujah. For the one who is risen from the dead. Not dead. Our God is not dead, and our God is not helpless. Our God is powerful. Hallelujah. He's mighty. He's glorious. He's filled with honor. His name can raise the dead to life again through faith in his name. Oh, I'm so thankful. Bless your name this morning, Jesus Christ. King of kings and Lord of lords, I thank you for what you have done to set us free. Father, forgive us our sin and our self and inward thinking that draws our hearts away to the world and draws them away from you. But Lord, restore unto us the joy of your salvation. Restore unto us, Lord, the gladness, the hope that you desire for us. Revive, restore, rebuild. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. I love to fill my mind with these thoughts found in his word, as you ought also. Because our battle isn't against what you see with your eyes. There are spirits everywhere. They're challenging you. You know that they're challenging you for possession of your home, of where you live. They want to control where you live. They want to be there in your children's room when they go to sleep at night. But in the name of Jesus, they're gone. They don't have power to resist the name of Jesus. And beloved, you and I need to take that into consideration, that we fill our homes, we fill the bedrooms and the places where our children go, and we fill it with the presence and the faith that we have in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't take it for granted. Don't be sucked in to that world mentality. This is the time that God has prepared for his son to come. And this is the time that God has prepared to revive his church and rebuild it. And beloved, I want you and I to be a part of that. Not to take for granted the word of the Lord, as we have been taking it for granted. Not to treat church as an insignificant thing, but rather to come in faith when we come into the building or when we walk on the streets, that we are no longer a part of this world, but we are called, chosen, separated for a purpose, that we are called by the name of Jesus Christ. We are Christians by our actions and by our words. Come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and I will receive you. If we don't come and be a separate, he cannot receive us. So, let's do it. Let's go into the bedrooms and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I dedicate this bedroom for the kingdom's sake. Lord, I want your presence to fill this place for my young child with a formative mind that's being influenced by all kinds of things in this life. I want your presence to be in here, that those thoughts may be rebuked, that my child may understand and know and be able to begin to resist these things that come upon them. That you, moms and dads, that you set an example, realize that your children watch every move you make. They see you. They know what you're doing. They know when you're doing things wrong. And you need to say, I'm wrong, and ask forgiveness. That's a powerful thing for a child to see. Because the Lord gets the glory. Why are you saying that? Because I'm subject to the word of God. Touch your children. Hold their hands. Read his word together in your home. It doesn't have to be for hours. Just read his word. Give him place in your home. If you seek first the kingdom, everything else that you concern your life about, or you concern your mind and thoughts about, the Lord said that he would take care of that. But you and I, we've got enough to do to seek first the kingdom. Are you with me? Are you loving me? Of course you are. You're children of the Lord. Listen to this. Salvation of Israel is coming from Egypt. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To me, this is so powerful and exciting. And I love to bathe my mind in these thoughts and from these scriptures. Exodus 5, verse 1 and 2. It says, and afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said these words, and this is what the enemy is saying today. Why is he saying it? Because the people of God are weak. And Pharaoh said, perfect type of Satan or the enemy. And Pharaoh said, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord. I don't know who your God is. And I don't know this Lord you're speaking of. and neither will I let Israel go. And that's the enemy. And that's exactly what he's saying today. And that's exactly the state and condition of this place that we live in today. People are in bondage, and there is no deliverer. I'm going to say that again, because I don't know if you heard me, because we're getting on to the time of closing. The Lord has to raise up a deliverer. The people are in bondage. The same voice of opposition. That's what's heard today. As the enemy of the souls of men has blinded the minds of them that don't believe. And what sets the people free? It's the power of God that's revealed. And beloved, as I know that something exciting is going to happen as God commits his power unto faithful men and women in the land, and deliverers are going to be sent out, not just sent out with words to preach, but sent out with power and authority. The God that created the heavens and the earth was going to be glorified in the delivering of his people from bondage. And by the time the Lord is finished with Pharaoh in Egypt, Pharaoh is going to know who the Lord of Israel is. Who is the God of Israel? He'll know. And he literally says, I have sinned against God in the end. He will know who the Lord is. Amen? Glory, hallelujah. Just as Satan is going to know as the Lord rises up in the lives of men and women who are going to be called to be deliverers, just like Moses was sent into the land to set the people free, to lead them out of darkness and bondage. It's not enough to get them to say a prayer and leave them there. They have to be led out of that situation. God was going to be glorified, and Pharaoh was going to know who the Lord of Israel was. With great power, the Lord delivered the children of Israel by making himself known to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And who shall stand before our God? Brothers and sisters, today, can you say that with me? Who shall stand before our God? Say it again. Who shall stand before our God? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Neither death nor life nor any other such thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I thank you. I can never be separated from the love of Christ, from the love of God through Christ. The Lord will once again reveal himself in power and authority to set the people free of this generation. I know that this is the Lord's plan today. He's going to reveal himself. And that weak, insipid church is going to come alive. And that divided people that call themselves by denominations are going to become one. And the Lord is going to raise up deliverers. And he's going to reveal himself in signs and miracles and wonders as the earth has never seen. At the name of Jesus will be known. And the world won't say, who is your God? Who is that God that you serve? Who is the God? And why should we listen to you? Because that's what they're saying, isn't it? But God is going to be known in our generation. Believe it. Ask the Lord for it. Cry out for it. Lord, now is the time. Glorify your name on the face of the earth. Glorify the name of Jesus on the face of the earth. Reveal yourself to this generation, to this ungodly, dying, suffering, blind generation. Reveal yourself that you may be glorified and that the people may be set free. Hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. Yes, I'm a little bit excited about that. I'm gonna close here because time has passed us by. But what a good time to be spending together. So, beloved, I want you to have understanding of this. I want this to be in your minds and in your hearts. Do you follow me? Your faith is required. You have to start doing things that you have not been doing. That you have to start acknowledging that you're not where the Lord wants you to be or where He's called you to be. Because until you acknowledge that, there will never be any change in your life. Church isn't a place where you come and listen to somebody preach. Church is a place where you come and as a member of the body, you contribute. Because it's the body being one, working together, that we need to see in the last day. Not a man or a woman or a few men or women, but the whole body moving as one. What unity, what blessing, what power. These signs shall follow. I want to give you a couple of scriptures, and then we will consider that enough to learn for today. Mark chapter 16 and verse 17, it literally says, "These signs shall follow them that believe." So the church, salvation, the way the church moves is to be in this manner, that these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs was he talking about? Casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, glorifying the name of the Lord. And you know, one of the reasons that that isn't taking place today is because there's so much pride. And man is so egotistical that he wants to glorify his own name. The Lord isn't going to use a person that is considering themselves. And I hope I can show you that, you know, the Lord has to humble us. And the longer we don't get that lesson, the longer we end up staying in the wilderness. And Canaan isn't heaven. It's the place that we got to rise up and possess. And that day's coming. So let's get ready to cross over that river and get in there. The battle isn't over, and Jericho's waiting to be set free. Hallelujah. These signs shall follow them that believe. And down in verse 20 of Mark 16, it says, "And they went forth and preached everywhere." This is Jesus. After he risen from the dead, he was giving them this mandate. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Does the word need to be confirmed? The answer is yes, it does. You see, Moses and Aaron went down to Pharaoh and said, "Thus saith the Lord that made the heavens and the earth, the God of all creation, let my people go." And Pharaoh said, "Who is this Lord? I don't know him, and I'm not letting the people go. Confirm your word with signs following." Exactly what the Lord did in Egypt. He confirmed the word that he spoke through Moses and Aaron to Pharaoh in Egypt with many great and wondrous, miraculous signs following. And the people were let go. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not about preaching. It's about signs following your preaching. Oh Lord, we are anticipating your power and your glory to be revealed, and do what you need to do in our lives to make us acceptable vessels for you to move through. They went forth, the Lord confirming the word with signs following. Amen. Scripture, Acts chapter 8 and verse 5 to verse 8, the Samaritan revival. "Then Philip went down to Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. Do you want me to read you that verse again? Because that's pretty doggone exciting. And just because I know some things kind of just pass right over you. So let's read it again. Everybody, attention. It says that Philip went down, preached Christ to them, and the people, verse 6, key verse, and the people with one accord gave heed, or they listened to the things which Philip was speaking. Why? Hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. And it birthed a revival in Samaria. We started in Jerusalem, and now there was a revival in Samaria because God was confirming the word with signs following, undeniable signs. And it says in verse 7, describes it, for unclean spirits crying with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Hallelujah. Joy. I tell you, I am anticipating that joy. I'm longing for that joy. Last scripture. Acts 4, the very last scripture. Acts 4, verse 29 to 31. And now, Lord, the prayer. The prayer of the new church of Jesus Christ being established. Now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal. Hallelujah. 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 Not just boldness to speak the word, but by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. Were they praying for revival? Absolutely. Were they praying for a harvest of souls? Yes, absolutely. But this is how they prayed. Lord, give us boldness. Give us boldness, Lord, to speak your word, to not be afraid of persecution, to not be afraid of the enemy who puts resistance against your word. But Lord, give us boldness to speak your word and stretch forth your hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of your holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. So, brothers and sisters, I think that's enough for us to comprehend, to think about many things, to start preparing ourselves for the Master's youth. God bless you today.